then we will link to your article about your own experience at democracynow.org. It will be at St. Mary's in Harlem on Wednesday night. Democracy Now! Produced by Mark Berkshire, for the producer, Armata Angela Thomas, Steve Martinez. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, yes? This is Quentin Crisp. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
Hi, Chris Sorochin here with your concert billboard for Tuesday, July 7th, tonight at Music Hall of Williamsburg. Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine. Peter Murphy will be at the Highline Ballroom, and that's about all that's going on tonight. Tomorrow, Wednesday, July 8th.
All right, just turn it down. There we go. Okay, now, Spiny, why don't you put the right date on this time? It's good that that's all that was going on that night, because that night was a week ago. We won July 14th. That's today. Bastille Day.
Today's Bastille Day.
Yes, it is.
Well, let's see what concerts
are greetings to
are
all the Bastilles out there. What?
Let's see what concerts are around today.
Okay. What the hell?
On WUSB Stony Brook, this is Bam with the concert billboard for Tuesday, July 14th. Miles Rood will be at the Beach Hut at the Smith Point Park at 5:30 p.m. At the Highline Ballroom, the Roots present The Jam. And at the Neskonsek Gazebo in Neskonsek, at 9:30 p.m., the world's most dangerous big band. Moving on to Wednesday the 15th, Nickelback with Hinder, Papa Roach, and Saving Abel, all at Nikon at the Jones Beach Theater. Whisker, Marrakesha Ainslie, Christina Seddon and Jessica Fine will be at Sullivan Hall. And at 6:30 p.m. at the Harborside Park in Port Jefferson, Gathering Time. On Thursday, July 16th, Big Sam's Funky Nation will be at Sullivan Hall and Rose Gunther Birthday Bash at Murrell's. On Friday, a big lineup, Ahmad Ali with Ozone, 9 p.m. at Painters, the Robert Cray Band and the Sweet Divines at Prospect Park Bandshell. Bill Cliff and the Cliffhangers will be at the Bad Moon Saloon. And Paul McCartney at City Fields. At the Sunset Grill in Seaford, 10:30, The Electrics. And 6 p.m. at Fadley's Pub in Patchogue, KJ Mojo and Friends. And finally, at the Eastport Luncheonette in Eastport, Frank Littori and the King Bees at 7 p.m. This has been the Concert Billboard on WUSB Stony Brook, the most dangerous station in the nation.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. It's 6:03, time once again for Off the Wall. Thank you. And very good evening, Sotomayor, to all of you out there. So I've been greeting everybody with that lately. Sotomayor, you know, you bow your head a little bit. And people seem to respond in kind. Just like, you know, when someone sneezes, you say Ahmadinejad, and it's the proper way to speak in this modern day of ours. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for Off the Wall, joined again this week by Voltaire.
Sotomayor.
Yeah, Sotomayor to you too. It's supposed to bow when you do that. It's proper. And have you watched any of the hearings?
I have. I've listened to some.
Yeah? It just seems like a lot of posturing so far. I haven't really heard anything of significance.
Well, they take up so much time bowing after they say your name. So.
Yeah, they haven't really done that at all, have they? but we have a couple of updates on... let's just read what the Associated Press says about it. I mean, we're going to get into a special feature just for this week because of a historical event that took place. It's, according to the Associated Press, it's a good thing Sonia Sotomayor speaks Sotomayorin. Oh, they're getting into it too, aren't they? After week upon week in which plenty of other people on the planet interpreted Sotomayor's past comments, the Supreme Court nominee at last got a chance to deconstruct her own words Tuesday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Fingers splayed. Whoever uses a phrase like that, fingers splayed, palms flat, hands bouncing up and then deliberately pressing down to the table. The Associated Press, they don't write like they used to write.
It sounds like they're trying to be like a fiction writer, but they're not doing very well.
No, not doing all that well at all. Anyway, Sotomayor elaborated, clarified, expanded, retracted. Yeah, you know they're trying to be literary when they don't put an and after the last word. She drew loopy circles on her paper. She ran rhetorical circles around her past words. I didn't intend to suggest, she explained. What I was speaking about, she offered. As I have tried to explain, she parsed. I wasn't talking about, she demurred. She was a tough critic at times. I was using a rhetorical flourish that fell flat, she averred. Averred? Am I even saying that right? These are words I'm not used to.
I think they plagiarized this from a high school creative writing class.
It sounds that way. It was bad, she said, of her own words. Well, who's going to say anything about the words of the Associated Press? Democrats were only too happy to take Sotomayor's rhetorical revisions at face value, as she explained away the most problematic of her past remarks. Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy began the first round of Q&A with Sotomayor by denouncing her harshest critics and then lobbing her a softball. Here's your chance, he told her. You tell us what's going on here, Judge. With that, Sotomayor had her first chance to recalibrate herself after sitting through a full day of opening statements. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to explain my remarks, she said, and it was no throwaway line. Sotomayor has much remarked upon past statements that a wise Latina judge could be expected to reach a better conclusion than a white man without the same experience. Simply meant to inspire young people that they could become whatever they want, she said. You know, am I the only person who wasn't offended by that? That's pretty much the meaning I got out of it. But I guess when you start injecting racial names and things like that, you can interpret it any way you wish. Her suggestion that appeals court judges don't just interpret the law, they help make it, taken out of context. I believe we even said that on this show. Republicans didn't readily sign on to Sotomayor's after-the-fact revisions. I don't think it's that clear, Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican of Alabama, objected at one point. I think a person could reasonably believe it meant more than that. The back and forth went on for hours, but even Sotomayor's critics didn't see any signs of a meltdown, which GOP Senator Lindsey Graham had said a day earlier was probably the only thing standing between Sotomayor and confirmation to the Supreme Court. If there's a test for judicial temperament, you pass it with an A++. Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, enthused. As controlled as her performance was, Sotomayor did allow a bit of her personality to filter through as the day wore on. Asked about the issue of allowing cameras into the Supreme Court, Sotomayor wisely ducked the issue that divides those likely to be her future colleagues. But she also called herself a pretty good litigator, suggesting she might be able to work on the fellow justices behind closed doors. Actually, it says here behind closed doors, but I'm just going to assume that's a typo. When I worked hard at trying to convince my colleagues of something after listening to them, they'll often try it for a while, she said. I mean, we'll have to talk together. We'll have to figure out that issue together. Sotomayor seemed to be feeling her oats as she held her own hour after hour. Feeling her oats? I don't even know what that means. When Republican Senator John Kyle of Arizona launched into his round of questioning during the afternoon without any preface or greeting, Sotomayor called him on it. "Good afternoon, by the way," she reminded him. "Oh, I'm sorry," Carl asked. "Good afternoon," she said again. And he eventually said, "Yeah, good afternoon. Whatever."
Did he add the whatever?
I added the whatever, but, you know, he was thinking the whatever. I mean, yeah, if you're up there in front of the, you know, Senate, I think you deserve a good afternoon or a good morning, whatever is appropriate, not just to be launched. I mean, you know, you could be a criminal accused of mass murder, and the prosecutor is still going to say, "Good afternoon, Mr. Suspect," before he actually, you know, asks you any pointed questions. I think that's only fair. So I don't know how long this is going to go on for. And also, on a personal note, it might affect us tomorrow night on Off the Hook because, we're airing the hearings live on WBAI, so if they go beyond 7 p.m., it could affect that show.
So maybe tomorrow, no good afternoons or greetings or anything.
Well, yeah, if they start saying good evening, then we know there's a potential problem there. But you know what? It's I don't think any other radio station's covering this live, at least certainly not on the FM dial. So it's something that... It's important. Speaking of FM dial, you know, I just got to say this, too, before we go into this special feature, that radio history was made today. And it's kind of weird because you and I were talking about this just yesterday, Voltaire, about the history of WQXR radio in New York. This is a station that both you and me grew up on, I believe.
96.3. Do not turn your dial
there. I'm sorry. Both you and I grew up on. I got that wrong. I'm sorry. It's reading the Associated Press. That's what did it. And you said what?
Do not turn your dial to 96.3.
Well, no, you can't.
Until 7 o'clock.
Don't do it now, obviously, if anyone's even listening to radio or if they're all listening on the internet. But WQXR, for those who don't know, is a radio station owned by the New York Times. And as a child, this was always what was played in my house. And, in fact, all my relatives always played this radio station. And, in fact, found out that you're the same. And I know other people who also have this radio station in their homes. It's commercial, but it's classical. And it's also kind of weird because it's owned by a newspaper, which you couldn't do today, but this was grandfathered in. And I remember when I was a kid, I would listen to 1560 AM, or we would listen to 1560 AM before we had an FM radio.
I would too, but I listened to it as Radio Disney.
Yeah, eventually they sold that to Radio Disney, which, you know, I don't understand that network at all. Who listens to Radio Disney at 4 in the morning? I'd like to know what the demographics are at that. Who's listening to Disney at that time? Yet they're broadcasting at all hours. So anyway, they also started broadcasting at 96.3, actually well before we finally got an FM radio, and it just, of course, sounded much better. Although there is something to be said for listening to classical radio on an AM radio, you know, classical music on an AM radio. Just something about it that sounds kind of cool. This station has just been around forever, and today, one day after I was talking to you about this possibility, this actually happened, WQXR has been sold. Now, there was fear that the frequency would be turned into a sports network or something god-awful like that. But what's going to happen, and this isn't really good news. Some people are saying it's great news. I don't think it's good news at all.
It's a mix.
It's sort of a three-way deal here. And basically what happened was that there's a Spanish station at 105.9.
A commercial station.
They actually broadcast out of Newark, New Jersey. People don't realize this. It's a commercial station, yes. What they're doing is they're going to take over 96.3. So they're going to have a much better signal at 96.3. And WQXR is going to move to 105.9 and not have nearly as good a signal, but it'll still be something, I suppose.
Do you want to explain why?
Well, the other part about all this is that WNYC, the NPR station in New York, is actually taking over WQXR and turning it into a non-commercial station, which I imagine will be an NPR station, the third one in New York City, fourth if you count WBGO in Newark. So, yeah, you know, they're not getting as good a signal. They're losing a frequency they've had forever, and it's no longer going to be affiliated with the New York Times, which I thought was kind of cool. But, you know, in this day and age where newspapers are floundering, I guess they had to raise money one way or another, and this was the way they did it. And it's just NPR, they're everywhere now. They're really taking over. So, kind of sad, I think. Kind of sad. It's not a done deal yet, but it looks like it's going to be. So, that's some more radio history here in the New York region. Okay, speaking of radio history, this is really kind of cool because it's our own radio history. We talked about this in months past, and in fact, in years past, about the radio show that we're re-airing or rebroadcasting or putting up on our website. We're not actually broadcasting it on this station. But basically, it's a radio station a radio show that I did back in 1981 with a good friend of mine, Mike Juhas, called The Voice of Long Island. And There was a particularly historic show that aired on July 11th, 1981. Historic because we just did a lot of different things, but also historic because of what we refer to here at the radio station as the July 11th incident. And what the July 11th incident was basically how do I describe this? We had just played an album side after having what we referred to as tainted pizza. We say tainted because there was something wrong with it. There was something in it, and it just wasn't quite right, and we acted really silly afterwards. And so after this album that we played on the radio, we just started talking in mellow voices. And we just went on like that for a bunch of minutes, not really making a whole lot of sense. And then at some point in time, I just made this unbelievable sound on the air. Don't know what it was, whether it was a hiccup or a belch or something disgusting like that. But it became known as the July 11th incident. And we talked about that literally for decades afterwards. And many people have philosophized as to just what exactly happened that night. And to be honest, we still don't really know. Now, we're going to play that excerpt. Actually, we're going to play the end of the Tom Waits album. And actually, you know, the best thing for you to do, if you can find an image of the Tom Waits album, Blue Valentine, try to find the back of that album cover. It's got a picture of a car and a restaurant. If you can find that, then you'll be able to see where we were at that time. And basically, we were sitting in the exact same room I'm sitting in right now, Mike Juhas and I, and Frank Burgert, our chief engineer, was in the hallway, and he was acting really silly as well. I think he had some of the pizza. And at some point, you'll hear Mike Juhas throw an object at him to shut him up. And it hit him square in the head, I believe, and Frank was very close to uttering an obscenity on the radio, and you'll see the clever way he disguised that. And I believe we also had a staff member named Rob Zeiser in the studio as well. Now, we're gonna play the end of the Tom Waits piece, and then that's going to go into a feature known as Bunky and Spunky, which was something that we also aired. Had nothing to do with either Mike or myself. These were friends of Mike's that came in and did this occasionally. So you hear that that feature, and then afterwards is when we start our mellow talking, which just it just knocked us on the floor whenever we started talking like this, and we just couldn't get out of it. And the whole thing just really kind of spiraled out of control. So let's go back in time, 28 years ago, July 11th of 1981, and as just made available on our website, www.2600.com/VOLI. Now you can listen to that whole radio show, all 3 hours of that particular radio show, as well as all the other shows up until that point, and one new one every single week from this point on. Okay, so July 11th, 1981. We'll be right back.
Don't you remember? I promised I would write you these blue valentines, blue valentines, blue valentines.
Your dial is set at 90.1 FM, WUSB.
So here are some tips that could get you out of a real jam.
First off, don't hitch any rides with monsters, no matter how friendly they appear. Our poor friend Junkie once did, and he wound up in Transylvania with most of the blood sucked out of him.
Yeah, and to this day, he still eats spiders and flies. Now, you can easily protect yourself from vampires. Always carry a few crosses with you. Popsicle sticks are peachy keen for that. Also, eat lots of raw garlic and rub it all over your body.
Another real pest is the werewolf. We all know that shooting him with a silver bullet is a sure cure. But since silver is so darned expensive these days, a cheaper alternative is to taunt him mercilessly, especially about his looks.
In case you run into giant insects, always carry an extra large can of insecticide. It's worth the effort.
If you must live in a haunted mansion, try to be a good neighbor to the apparitions there. At least they won't eat you out of house and home.
Always keep a 10-megawatt nuclear reactor in your basement fired up and ready to go. It's real indispensable when fighting Godzilla or the Frankenstein monster or Triffids or just about anything.
So just remember, it may be dangerous playing with monsters, but...
don't play with blasting caps!
That was Spunky and Spunky. On USB. Well, we have all
nice stuff.
We have all sorts of neat things for you tonight.
On Radio Free Weekend. Your non-commercial alternative.
On Long Island, of course.
We're going to get into some of the more upbeat stuff.
Yes, but before that, let's give you the weather.
Forecast.
It's 23
degrees.
74.
More degrees. I get you 97. 97 degrees on the USB scale. What funny weather we're having lately, isn't it? Very funny.
The time is 2:30.
What was in that
2:32
pizza?
You were trying to say, I believe.
That's what I was trying to say.
Thank you for telling us that.
Well, we heard from Tom Waits' album, Blue Valentine.
Entire record side.
Did you get them to shut the door, please?
Please shut the door. Will you please get out of here before we kill you?
Thank you.
Sometimes you have to get rough with these people, you know what I mean? You have to use strong language and hard words and that type of thing.
We heard all of side two.
The whole thing.
An interesting note that on the back of the album cover...
I'm sorry, Mike. I dropped my microphone. It's okay now, though. It's a funny record cover, isn't it?
It sure is. It shows a man leaning on a woman on a car that's called Blue Valentine.
Blue Valentine.
Yes. Now, we all know the man is dead. We all know the man is Tom Waits. But do you know who the woman is?
Tom Waitress.
No.
What's am I wrong?
You are wrong.
I'm sorry.
The woman is Ricky Lee Jones.
Ooh. That does come as a surprise. A big one.
You remember Ricky Lee Jones with her song, Chucky is in Love.
Yeah.
That's this very same Ricky Lee Jones that's mysteriously pictured on the back of this Tom Waits album.
Wow.
He has some interesting stuff on the telephone.
She's open 24 hours. Or at least the...
She is?
Well, something's open 24 hours. I don't know what it is. It's good to hear a whole record side now and then.
Especially since we just had tainted pizza.
Yes. That's the last time we ever ordered from a friend of yours, Mike.
Oh, Augusta Nacho's pizza?
My
he told me it was different, but I didn't know it was like that.
It's what's known as... The napkin clinging to the pizza pie is what's known as high-fiber pizza.
Sugar pop.
High-fiber pizza. Well, we have another new album that's come into the station recently.
Another? A new album? Another one.
Here comes another one.
Oh, boy.
Here it comes again.
I'm so excited, I just don't know what I'm going to do.
The album is entitled... Music.
Oh, I did that. I didn't think I'd do that. But I did.
I'm going to do it too, except it's not going to be the different end.
I hope it's a long song so I can clean this up.
This is music from Iran on USB.
All right.
Oh, yeah. It never gets old. Well, that was the infamous July 11th incident from 1981, right here on these airwaves, right here in this studio. And joining me now live from Wisconsin is the very same Mike Uhasso is in this room. Mike, you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening. How are you?
I'm great. I mean, I've listened to this a whole bunch of times since it was released on Saturday, and I know a lot of other people have as well, and I believe you were listening to it too.
I did. I downloaded it on Saturday afternoon, and listened to a bunch of it, and found the spot, and played it for my daughter. My daughter, who is 8, and she likes...
Your daughter's 8, and she liked it?
She is like that, and she was just absolutely stunned.
Uh-huh. Stunned by the genius.
That came out of the guy's mouth?
Well, just to, you know, it wasn't that disgusting, but that noise, I could never make that kind of a noise again. I mean, it just happened. The mood was right. What can you say?
It was a noise, all right.
Now there were a lot of references to a tainted pizza too. So is there anything you could? I remember, was this the pizza that came with the napkins literally spread on the pizza?
Yes, we asked the pizza delivery place to send along some napkins with that. And, you know, we figured they put them on the pizza, but we didn't figure they put them on the pizza, maybe on the pizza box, perhaps.
Yes.
It was a high fiber pizza, as I think one of us said at one point during that. And, it was, shall we say, memorable.
Now, I remember we had, it was you and me, and also Frank Burgert was there. You could hear him pretty clearly. And Rob Zeiser, who had come on after us, was in the studio. And we all were sort of taking part. But do you remember the part where... I believe you threw something at Frank, and you hit him pretty good. And he said sugar pops on the air instead of something else. I think he would prefer to have said. Do you remember that?
I was it because I had thrown something at him?
No, you could hear in your voice that you were aiming while you were talking, and then you know you just heard like the effort as you threw it, and you heard the bang too. And yeah. To this day, he still has that lump on his head.
Oh well, you know. He probably deserved it.
Yeah, I think so too. But it was magic. And you know, this show, if you've never listened to The Voice of Long Island before, I think July 11th, 1981 is when we found our pace, because we did so much in that particular program that it never stopped. We shortly after this, we have an interview with the Prime Minister of Tunisia. Do you remember that?
No.
He was trying to reach his cousin in New Jersey or something, and we sort of tapped into that phone line somehow and had a little conversation with him. We talked to a policeman in Manchester, England, because they were having riots back then.
Right.
And we talked to them live on the air. At one point also, we talked to Marvin Muller about the ongoing baseball strike. And that was unfortunate because we had thought we were talking to Marvin Miller, who was the chief negotiator. But we learned a lot about the manufacturing of paper clips through Marvin Mueller, because that's where he worked. He was in the factory where they curled them or something. It was just a show where we just had all kinds. And here, you know, underneath us right now is Iranian music that we were playing at the time. So it's just, and it sounds so good, too, considering this tape is 28 years old that we got this off of. It
28
sounds,
years old. Man, I tell you, that's a, I was playing that for my daughter the other day, and I told her, you know, Cassidy, this was 28 years ago. And she kind of looked at me with a look of wonder and also, Daddy, you're old.
Yes. Yes, I'm familiar with that look. So it's history. It's radio history, and we have our own radio history here at this station. Any other moments that leap out to you from the days we did this show?
Yes. Remember the time Nancy Bellucci dropped an ice cube down my back while I was reading the news?
I sure do, and I remember what you said when she did it as well. It's hey. a good thing the show was on after midnight.
We are not supposed to say that word on the radio.
Definitely not. And you can hear that show. That show is already on the archives. And you can hear, and also, in fact, that was also the show that Don Topeka, who was the announcer for the Tripod family, also let loose with a profanity by accident. That was never supposed to air.
Oh.
And you could barely hear it. You have to really turn the volume up. It was an outtake. Yeah, we had some zingers there, and that was certainly one of them. We're going to keep doing this every Friday night, Saturday morning at midnight. We're going to release another episode of the show because the dates line up perfectly to 1981. And I believe it goes on for the next couple of years or so.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. But July 11th, man, that was the show where we just... Well, actually, the July 4th show, the week before that, was also pretty good because we were calling information operators around the country, actually in Canada, too, and asking them what Independence Day meant to them. And we got some pretty interesting answers.
Did we?
Yeah, well, a lot of people... Didn't want to talk to us because they said they had to work, and we thought that was kind of interesting. On Independence Day, they didn't have the independence to actually talk to us. But some operators really went on and started talking about how they didn't feel very patriotic or what life in the U.S. meant to them and things like that. So we got some good answers. And these days, good luck even trying to get an operator in the first place, let alone have one talk to you.
Right. Can you even get an operator?
I don't think you can. I mean, you have to hit zero and wait a whole bunch and be advised by some automated computer that they can help you better. But eventually you might get a human, but they're probably in India or something.
Hmm. Well, you should try that right now.
I would like to try that, but you know what else, Mike? We no longer have phones that can hit two buttons at the same time. So we're in the electronic age. We have these stupid phones that if I call something, I wind up putting you on hold or hanging up on you altogether.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that.
Oh, well, then you'll have to do that as soon as I hang up, then.
You know what? In memory of the Voice of Long Island, I will do that just to prove how things have changed. And things really have changed. Not only the phones. And by the way, whenever we called things on the phones, it just sounded so different. You'd hear crossbar rings. You'd hear ESS rings. You'd hear step rings. I mean, what that might mean to people, how do we describe this? Every ring in the United States pretty much sounds the same now. But, you know... There used to be rings that sounded... I'm going to try and imitate a ring now. There used to be rings that sounded like... That was a ring. That's what a ring would sound like. Am I exaggerating, Mike?
No, not by much.
I don't think I'm exaggerating at all, actually. I think that's what a ring actually sounded like. I think there was a guy standing there doing that.
Or a guy going...
Yes, we had that as well. So there's history in the phones, but there's also history as far as what was going on in the world. After all, Ronald Reagan was president then, so it was a whole different world.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's dim memories that we've tried to get out of our minds. But, Mike, it's just great to know that you're still a phone call away, and hopefully you're going to be involved in radio, too, in the future, and we can maybe do some collaboration.
Well, yeah, keep me posted for that.
All right. There seems to be demand for that. We have a lot more listeners now, because back then, when we did this show, we only had... Well, you would refer to it as a singular, you say the listener, but I think we might have had a few more than that, but it was still just limited to the signal coverage of this radio station. But now that we're archiving these things and putting them online, we have hundreds, maybe thousands of people that download the things and spread them around, and wow, it's incredible to see just how far it goes.
The internets are a wonderful thing.
Yes, they certainly are, all of them. And there have been demands from some listeners that we do something in the future together. So just warning you about that.
Okay, well, maybe the next time I'm there on Long Island, or perhaps we can do it virtually.
We could do it virtually. That's true. That's more in keeping with the times that we live in now.
Right.
As artificial as possible. Maybe I could converse with your voice from 1981 or something and have a conversation that way.
Hey, that's an idea.
Yeah, I'm sure we can figure that out. Well, there were times when we had disembodied voices in the studio. We'd record a whole bunch of yeses and nos in our voices, and then we'd ask each other questions. And
Did we do that all that often?
I think we did it twice or three times before we were asked not to.
Okay, yeah. I remember that as being just more of a hassle than it was worth.
Yeah.
That was before computers.
Well, it wasn't entirely before computers. There had been computers, but before we had computers.
Right.
Yeah, before we had our grubby hands.
This was back in the day when computers weighed no more than 1.5 tons.
Uh-huh. Well, back then, it was considered an adventure if we found a phone number that had an answering machine on the end of it.
I remember those.
Yeah, and, you know, we play with those. We say, hey, look, we found an answering machine. And if you found something like a computer, oh, my God, you know, there's all kinds of things you could do with that. We wound up calling quite a few interesting phone numbers from that point, a lot of 800 numbers, and just playing with whatever answered if it wasn't a human. And sometimes, even if it was a human, we played with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that was where the fun was.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Mike, I'll let you get back to your life in Wisconsin.
Right, I'm driving.
Oh, that's dangerous.
No, not here in Wisconsin. It's not against the law to talk and drive at the same time.
That's true. I guess you could fall asleep and not hit somebody for a good 10 minutes.
Right. It's not against the law. It's not any less dangerous, but it is not against the law.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting how things work that way.
Right.
But, and imagine, you know, if...
I was going to say here, you could drive while chatting with reckless abandon.
Oh, that's a good name for a radio person, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be chatting with reckless abandon then.
Right, yeah, as we are doing right now. I am doing with you, or maybe it's you're doing it with me.
But imagine if we were having this conversation back in 1981, or just listening to this conversation, how strange it would be that I'm talking to you as you're driving in your car, because that was unheard of. You know, we would never get calls from people in cars.
Well, that's true, but we did try calling some people on ships through the Marine Special Operator.
That's right, the Special Operator. Ship to shore, I believe it was.
Right, we were looking for the SS Howard tripod. We never could raise him.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we've gotten to that point yet, or we haven't gotten to the point also where we were trying to call Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli in various cities around the world.
Mm.
And no. we came pretty close. I think Bhutan we almost found it.
Where?
In Bhutan, I think we almost found it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, we might have even talked to the screaming operator of Bhutan, who later makes an appearance on Brain Damage, but I'm not sure about that. We met
so many cool people.
You
cataloged all the stuff. That's a great thing. That's a good service you've done there.
Well,
sir.
Mike, the credit goes to you because you're the one who actually made the tapes, and had you not done that, there would be no record of any of this. And,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Unfortunately, I made copies of the tapes from you before your tapes wound up someplace that we're not sure where they are. I think they're in a storage compartment someplace.
We may have some in storage, yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had done a radio gig out here in the Milwaukee area a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was a commercial station, but it had a really great little sense of community, and we were beleaguered. We were in the process of being sold, so we knew we weren't going to last very long, which kind of made us be a little, perhaps even a little bit more creative. And I was doing a bluegrass show with a couple of other guys, at the time. Our general manager had just been fired. We didn't know what was going to happen when we showed up to the radio station that morning. We found out, because he was usually there to let us in. He would never give us a key. Well, there was somebody else there to let us in. In fact, she gave us all keys so we could get in. So that was a good thing. Have I ever told you this story on the air before?
I know you've told me this story. I'm not sure about it on the air, but I'm sure we have all different listeners now. So continue, please.
Okay, a different listener this time. That's good.
Yes, hello.
Well, I had just, the day before, been up to a Cub Scout leader training exercise. I was a Cub Scout leader at the time. And one of the other leaders told me what the Cub Scouts in her pack were doing. What they would do is they would take a straw and they'd stick it in their armpit. And then they would blow air into their armpit, and it would make a great, just a wonderful farting sound if you positioned it in just the right way as the air vibrated between your abdomen, your torso, and your arm. makes just a wonderful noise. Have you ever done that?
No, I don't think I've ever actually done that in my life. I've done things with my hands, you know, blowing with my hands and things like that, and other types of sounds, but never that particular style. And you know what? I don't think we ever did that on our radio show either.
We didn't, because I never heard about this until just 2002 or 2003.
It might be a Midwestern.
Anyway, so
yeah.
I mentioned this to one of the guys that I did the show with, the serious guy, Dale. Up and left. He went to one of the local fast food restaurants. He came back with a handful of straws. He says, "We got to try this." We did that on the air. And wouldn't you know, that was the day that I did not tape the show.
Oh.
The best one we ever did.
Wow. That's so ironic and sad. But maybe somebody out there did tape it.
Somebody did, but then they bulked the tape after a while.
Bulk meaning, of course, you just turn on this little magnetic field and the tape gets erased forever.
And ever.
Yeah, it's sad, but you know what? The signal goes out into outer space. So if we ever are able to travel faster than light, we can catch up to it and record it then.
Right. Well, it's got about a six-year head start on me at least already. Maybe.
Yeah, but if we conquer light travel, we'll be able to get it.
Right. Well, that could be.
It's out there somewhere.
Yes.
All right. Listen, Mike. I'm going to do that. I'm going to try an operator. I'll ask the operator what the. If I can get an operator, what the area code for White Plains is. How about that? I know it's 914. But back in the day, we could just dial 0, and the operator would immediately tell us that.
Right. They would know that because they just memorized stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they'd also be friendly and tell us, and they'd be human.
And now, today, the only people who memorize area codes are, you know, knuckleheads like me who have no other real life.
Yes. And, of course, they've changed the area codes, too, so they don't have ones and zeros in the middle of them anymore, necessarily.
Not all of them, yeah.
Yeah, and that just completely confused everybody. But let's not even open that kettle of fish, because...
Yeah, let's please don't. And then if I get talking about area codes, the next thing coming out of my mouth is I'll be talking about pizza and how you can't get decent pizza in Wisconsin.
Well, you know, we did all right that time when I went out to visit you recently a couple of months ago. It wasn't bad.
But the Sal's. Sal's actually is, I have to admit, is a very decent pizza for around here, so... there are a couple of little isolated pockets like that, but most of the time here they make a big round pizza. The crust is like crackers.
Uh-huh.
They cut it up into little squares, which is just plain wrong.
No, it is wrong. You're right. There should be some kind of penalty for that, for sure.
Right.
Well, Mike, you're always welcome to come here to either Long Island or New York City, and we'll show you what pizza really is. But, of course, you know that.
All right. Hey, you know what? I might just come out there in a couple weeks, actually, on business, so I'll have to hook up with you.
That'd be great. And come out before the end of July, because I'm going away for the month of August.
Oh, I was actually coming out the first week in August.
You always manage to do that, don't you? You always manage to come out when I'm not here.
Mm. All right. Well, we'll have to talk about that off the air, then.
Yes, let's do that.
All right. All right, well, have fun getting the O or OO operator. Can you still dial 00?
You're referring to zero, the OO operator dialing 00. I don't think that works. You know what? I'm going to try. We're going to figure it out.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Have a great day, sir.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye. Now, Mike doesn't realize it yet, but I said thanks for calling, and I called him. He would always do that to people, and they wouldn't find out until after they hung up that he put one over on them. Okay, so now... what we're going to do is we're going to try and reach an operator. What do you think of all that, Voltaire? It's way before your time.
Yes, it's quite interesting.
Isn't that something? Some radio history there for you from some elderly people that have been around forever. Okay, let's... first of all, we have to get a dial tone here. And then we get an external dial tone. Okay, that's the internal dial tone. It pulsates. And here's the external dial tone. Now, in the old days, we just dial 0 and get an operator and see. Let's see if that works. See if it's possible to actually talk to a human again. Something's happening. Ah, you get fast busy.
Tried calling technical support for some.
I don't know how to get around this. If the 0 doesn't work, we can't call it at all.
Try 00.
I'll try 00. Okay, 20. Let's see if that works. If that doesn't work, I can try a carrier access code.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's getting kind of ridiculous, though. Yeah, okay, same thing. So I'll try carrier access code, which, dial tone, 1010288, which is AT&T, and then 0, and then a pound sign. Ugh. this pretty much is the sound of our current culture. It's a fast, busy, meaning you can't do that. Yeah, you know, there's probably an 800 number I could call to get an operator. Actually, you know what? I think I can do this. Hold on. 1-800-CALL-ATT, I think.
I remember those commercials.
Yeah. course, this won't get me a New York telephone operator. Well, there's no New York telephone anymore. We're talking about. All right.
We now offer collect calling to cell phones on prompt 3.
Oh, how does that work?
To place a calling card or credit card call.
I always wondered why you couldn't call cell phones.
To place a collect call to a home or business phone.
I just want to hit 0. Talk to a human.
AT&T.
Oh.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed.
I just dialed 0.
Please hang up. Redial your call and follow the menu.
No, I refuse to hang up. How dare you?
If you are calling from a rotary phone and require operator assistance to complete your call, please hang up. Dial 00 and say operator at the prompt.
You know what? It doesn't...
Please hang up now.
No, I'm not. I refuse. They hung up. You see how it is?
Yeah.
You can't get through. You can't get through. And I can't do the 00 thing either.
I miss the old days when you could get call the operator and get Care Top from 1-800-CALL-ATT.
That's not one of my fonder memories at all. Okay, we're supposed to do this feature. Less than an hour before the show, I put all this together, and we haven't done this in a long time. Yes, SUVs in the news. Unfortunately, we only have a couple of minutes left, so I have all these stories about SUVs, so let's very quickly try and go through them and see what has happened with SUVs in the last couple of days. a man who was struck by traffic as he tried to push his stalled vehicle out of harm's way died this morning, Fort Worth police said. Second death this week involving a stranded motorist who was struck by oncoming traffic in Fort Worth. Alan Adkins, 85 years old, was attempting to push his vehicle when he was struck from behind by a Toyota Sport Utility vehicle. And then again, a 78-year-old man died Sunday after he was struck by an SUV on the westbound interstate. The SUV driver was not injured. An SUV crashed into a Tempe house near Southern and the Loop 101. That's how they talk out there in Arizona. At around 5:45 a.m. today.
What is a Tempe?
It's a city. It's near Phoenix, I think. The Kia Sportage. Those are words you should ask what they mean, the Kia Sportage. Cut across the front yard of the home on the 3400 block of South Shannon and crashed into the side of the garage, just missing the bedroom of an 84-year-old woman. What is it with senior citizens and SUVs? It's like a war going on of some sort. An unidentified 21-year-old Scottsdale man apprehended about 5 blocks away is believed to have been the driver. The suspect was found barefoot with cuts on his feet, and police found a pair of flip-flops on the scene that fit him. The suspect is denying that he was the driver, but the evidence says otherwise. It's interesting how the SUV drivers always seem to run away after they do something bad. A fatal accident involving 3 vehicles on Interstate 15 at milepost 42 in Cedar City, Iowa, I believe, led to 2 deaths and 6 people injured on Sunday morning. The 1993 Range Rover rolled several times, and 2 children who were not restrained in car seats were ejected from the vehicle. More details about that. Here's one sort of... not one of our traditional stories. A hawk flew into the windshield of an SUV at around 6 p.m. Monday, just west of the I-196 interchange in Michigan, causing the vehicle to swerve, hit another vehicle, and roll into a ditch. No one was seriously injured. Even the red-tailed hawk, who was just under 2 years old, was taken to the Wildlife Rehab Center in Grand Rapids for observation. He's alert, unable to stand on his own, may have a broken back or wing. The injured bird will likely be sent to Braveheart Raptor Rehabilitation Center in Muskegon, or however you say that. So that one has sort of a happy ending. 2 people, though, suffered major injuries when an SUV crashed at high speed early Monday east of Exeter in California. A 17-year-old was speeding eastbound on Rocky Hill Drive around 3:30 a.m. He lost control. The SUV overturned. Yeah, they do that all the time. How about this? A San Diego business owner scrambled for safety Tuesday as he watched an out-of-control SUV crashing into his building. It happened at Printing on 5th. I guess it's the name of a business or something. Just before noon on the west side of Balboa Park in Hillcrest. Business owner Manny Marlin said he feels fortunate. He was looking out the window when the brand-new Range Rover came careening into his building at 5th Avenue and Thorn Street. The unidentified driver was taken to a hospital for treatment. Marlon says his dog is frequently lying by a window where the SUV crashed, but the dog didn't come to work on that day. The dog comes to work with him, I guess. Riverside police said they discovered an SUV flipped on its side early Monday morning along Woodman Drive near U.S. Route 35, and I have no idea what state that's in, I'm sorry. Officers said they also discovered the driver was missing. They said 22-year-old Philip Spellman apparently climbed out after crashing his vehicle and took off running without shoes, again, running without shoes, into the nearby Woodman Park apartment complex. Officers and a police canine unit searched the area but did not find any signs of the driver. However, police learned the SUV belonged to Spellman's aunt. Officers followed that lead and eventually arrested Spellman at an address on Burkhart Road. Investigators said they believe he's a soldier home on leave, last stationed in Korea. Yeah, there's a lot more we can say about that story, but we have to move on. The woman pulled from an overturned SUV by members of the Hollywood Hills football team in Hendry County has died. She was pulled from there on Sunday, 53-year-old Juanita Carrillo Bryan. She was one of three people pulled from an SUV that had crashed into a canal off U.S. 27 outside of Clewiston on Sunday night. That's in Florida. Four Hollywood football players and their coach were among a group that rescued the Flagler Beach couple and their granddaughter from the wreckage. An Amtrak train hit a sports utility vehicle just north of Alliance Airport Monday afternoon. Where's Alliance? Oh, that's in Texas. Injuring a grapevine man. The collision happened when the Chevrolet Blazer pulled in front of the train at Texas 156 and Eagle Parkway. They always do that. They always pull in front of things thinking that they have right of way no matter what. But you know what? With trains, you really don't. The crash caused about $200 damage to the train, but it destroyed the Blazer. A Hillsdale Township woman was killed in a sport utility vehicle rollover near the community of Hillsdale, Michigan. Shelly Ann Studnicka was pronounced dead at the scene. Ms. Studnicka pulled into a driveway and was removing items from the SUV when it began to roll backwards. She tried to stop the vehicle, fell underneath it, and then was dragged down the driveway and across the road. The preliminary investigation revealed that the vehicle may have had previous mechanical malfunctions. State police in Lisbon. Where's Lisbon? I know it's in Portugal, but yes, that's not the Lisbon we're talking about. We might not find out where Lisbon is on this one. I don't see any indication. Oh, it's in the 860 area code. I'm not sure where that is. That might be Connecticut, but I'm not sure. State police are searching for a sport utility vehicle that struck and injured a teenage girl on Saturday night. The 14-year-old Musup girl, I don't think there's a town called Musup in Connecticut, was walking with two other people on the shoulder of Route 12 near the Interstate 395 ramp about 9:45 p.m. when she was hit. The girl was thrown from the shoulder onto the nearby grass. The SUV did not stop and continued down Route 12 towards Norwich. Oh, there is a Norwich, so it was Connecticut. All right. That's SUVs in the news for tonight. Sorry for the abbreviated version, but we have to get out of here. And I want to thank everybody for sending in their suggestions. Our email address, otw@2600.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments. And Voltaire, thanks very much for stopping in.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you again tomorrow on Off the Hook.
Yeah.
Till then, this is Emmanuel. Have yourselves a good night. Right.
You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.